At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weiner, joined, as always, by a fan-sided MLB insider, Robert Murray, back from Atlanta, Georgia. Did not have to spend that much time in the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Thought I was going to get delayed. Wasn't. Assume everyone gets delayed when they fly back from the ATL and from All-Star, but we didn't. We made it home. We're safe. We've got a second half upon us, and we want to sort out the way that some bubble teams are currently planning to handle the trade deadline less than 2 weeks out. Robert Murray, thank you for joining me. Thanks for helping out. And we're also going to have a special announcement for you people in a couple of seconds.
No, that we are. It's very exciting news, but good to be here with you, Adam. It feels very nice to be back in Scottsdale. I missed my puppy. My airport trip was very entertaining, to say the least. Imagine trying to go hop on the Atlanta train there, trying to get to your trying to confirm a trade, which turned out to be Adam Frazier going to the Kansas City Royals. We can get into the details of that in a little bit, but I just want to dive into that one right away because that was fun. But good to be here with you, Adam. Happy Friday. How are we doing?
Happy Friday. It's a vibe for sure. We do want to talk about that. It was weird. Yeah, it was weird leaving you, like saying goodbye, then getting to the airport and then getting a notification from Robert Murray on Twitter that a trade happened. I was like, we didn't talk about this. I mean, you know, you got to clear these with me before you break up.
That's true. And I didn't. That's a bad friend, bad teammate.
Yeah, I should have. I got a big Cam Devaney guy, and I wish I would have known that he was changing teams. But the trade season has begun. The sellers we knew were sellers are certainly selling. The Pirates got it going early. They've got more in their coffer as well. We're going to talk about all that, plus the teams that could change the trajectory of the trade deadline. But before we get into it, want to make a special announcement. If you are a fan of the Baseball Insiders and you are in the Chicagoland area, you should probably come by the National Sports Card Convention Saturday, August 2nd, Sunday, August 3rd. Both Robert and I will be there in person doing live podcasts on the stage at the National Card Collecting Convention. We're going to have great guests still unannounced, so stay tuned for that. But we want to thank the National for hooking us up. We are going to be live on stage twice that weekend. So if you're a collector, memorabilia seeker, autograph hound, come down to the show. Come see the Baseball Insiders 10 o'clock a.m. Central on both Saturday and Sunday. Get your autographs. Come hang out with us. Watch the show live. Robert, we've never done a live show before, and we're doing two. Is that a good idea?
No, it's a terrible. No, it's a great idea. Of course it is. I'm very excited. Because it'll be good juju, good vibes. And the early signs of the guests that we could possibly get, I'm not going to say them on the show here because I don't want to spoil anything, but they're pretty darn good. So I would not miss those at all. I think that'd be an absolute blast. So I'm excited. Although I was going to say I can't get here soon enough, but we got the trade deadline coming up. And we have a lot of podcasts to get to, a lot of news to break, a lot of rumors to get to. I appreciate the love for the hat. This is one of my favorite hats. Adam can confirm. I think I wore this one twice while we were in Atlanta together. So good times.
Very good times. Robert taught me a lot about being a hat guy in Atlanta for the All-Star game as well. I was like, do people wear hats at the box? What are we doing? And then I, you know, decided day one I wasn't going to. And then midday, a bunch of people walking around me wearing hats. I was like, oh, that's pretty easy. You should just put on a hat. That's a good call. And I wore one for the end of the Home Run Derby, and it was a lifesaver because the field is 1,000 degrees and the box is comfortable, but most of the areas walking around the stadium are also blazing. So hey, you learn, you live, you learn. And sometimes you walk around the bowels of the stadium trying to get to a press conference, and instead you see Robert Suarez locked out of the bullpen. You shoot a viral video. So we had a good time. Join us for those. Stay tuned for more details, of course, on those shows in a couple of weeks, but stick with us through the trade deadline. You're going to get Baseball Insiders Monday, Wednesday, Friday, heading into the trade deadline. Of course you are. Friday after the deadline, you're not going to get a show that day, but you're going to get a deadline show, which is much better. Pre-deadline, I tell you all we know heading into the deadline. And then of course the big weekend. Read the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com/baseball-insiders as well. And you should subscribe to the Moonshot if you have not, our weekly baseball email newsletter from the Fansided MLB team. Join us in the Discord. Most importantly, hit that join button below the video. And make certain that you join either the Rumor Mill tier or the All-Star tier. There was a great private Q&A with Robert yesterday in the Rumor Mill tier at 3 o'clock Eastern, as there is every Thursday. Although, of course, Thursday the 31st is deadline day. So expect live Baseball Insiders content that day instead of a private Q&A. We're going to have a very public stream with people going crazy. And yes, top priority in the live show chats for our All-Stars, as you can see on the banner below. All right, Robert, before we get into some borderline sellers, people who could change the trade deadline, let's talk about the Pirates-Royals-Adam Frazier deal that maybe started things off.
Yeah, first of all, Canyon, you're trolling. Please don't do that, because I thought I missed something. But Adam Frazier was not necessarily my first pick for a player to get traded after the All-Star break. So when I am hopping on to the train in Atlanta and I get the text in my ears saying that there was a trade and I find out that it's Adam Frazier, you should have seen me try to – you should have seen the hectic how hectic it was for me to try to confirm that and also to get that thing out as well. I remember I got to my gate and I looked up and I saw Bob Nightingale, who – shout out to Bob. It's not the first time we've flown together. Well, probably won't be the last, but I don't know if he saw me being super hectic or not, but I eventually got it confirmed, got it out. So that was cool to break that. But the Royals, they liked what Adam Frazier provided when they had him. Obviously, he didn't necessarily perform that well with them, but he is a very key veteran presence that they like having in that locker room, because there's a lot of young guys there, and that's something that they value. And he had better production this year with Pittsburgh. I believe he was hitting .255 there. And his production, even most recently, was trending in the right direction. And with infield and outfield versatility, getting him and not having to give up a lot, they gave him a 28-year-old prospect who had not even made his major league debut yet. He was called up but never played. And so it was a small price for them to pay. I do like the trade for the Pirates, though, because the 28-year-old, I was a Cam Devaney, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. He's been playing very well this year. He's kind of broken out in the minor leagues. So getting him a chance in Pittsburgh, where he's probably going to end up getting called up after they trade Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So not a bad move by either team. And the first of what I expect to be many deals to come for the Pirates and just in general.
Yes, I was. I cannot imagine. I see a comment here asking, like, if, you know, our thoughts on the Battery and the Braves Stadium and all that. Love, you can attest to this. I said, I can't think of a more perfect place for the All-Star festivities to be, just so self-contained once you get out there to the burbs. And it's also closer to downtown than I thought. It was like an 18-minute drive at worst. But as much as I loved the Battery and the stadium and the way the festivities were, the airport and the air train and all that, the service is abominable at the Atlanta airport. I've unlocked several new levels of challenge during the All-Star festivities. Trying to get a lift outside the stadium, horrible. Trying to get a lift outside the airport, just, I mean, no service. The guy's not, I can't see him moving. I have to memorize his license plate and go track him because I just can't use my phone. I can't imagine breaking a trade in that same scenario. I was trying to send Slack messages on the stupid air train and getting interrupted. I can't imagine the high stakes world of dictating, Adam Frazier's future.
No, it was crazy because my texts weren't going through to about half the people in my contacts that I was trying to text. So that was really not ideal, but it all worked out in the end, and we've gotten yet another scoop on the board. So, exciting times. We'll hopefully have plenty more to come, maybe even some before too long. So we'll see.
Well, we got to get going soon, right? We are within the 2-week mark of the actual deadline itself, 6 p.m. Eastern time. On Thursday, the 31st of July. And there are still plenty of teams that have to determine the way that they are going to handle this deadline. And this is just going to be reality every year from this point forward. There are going to be teams that are a game and a half out, but under 500. There are going to be teams that are, 4 games back, But in any other year, you would say, obviously, cash in all of your rentals. You know, make this, especially in a seller's market. Like, this year, finally, we have, you know, teams in purgatory. Some did some distancing of themselves before the break. Some are still stuck. And some teams made some interesting comments and some players made some interesting comments during the break that maybe changed the way they're perceived. But I wanted to go over a few of these bubble teams, definitely five that stand out to me, and talk to you about the direction that you're thinking they'll take. And I want to start with the Red Sox just because they feel like the most obvious one. I mean, we could have told you a month ago that they planned to, there was never going to be a Red Sox fire sale, right? But the 10-game winning streak, they finally calcify into the contender that we all knew they would be if the players on the roster just started playing the expectations and surrounding. It's hard to have a better offseason than Crochet, Bregman, and this version of Aroldis Chapman, all playing extremely well, all made the All-Star team, which leads you into, okay, a 10-game, you know, a light schedule, and then a romp of the four-game dramatic sweep of the Rays. They're the number two wild card. They're not even like hanging on by a thread. They're not a game or out or so. They're 8 games over 500. So they're sellers, but that, I'm sorry, they're buying. They're not sellers. No. But that has not stopped the Jaron Duran trade talk from sort of percolating. So how do you anticipate them handling it? And would it be fair to take Duran off the market at this point? Or are they still looking to be creative?
I would say that the Red Sox are absolutely like they're in a position to buy, and their schedule has been relatively easy. I know they beat the Rays. So, I mean, that was a good victory for them, or a good series victory for them for sure. But I'm curious to see exactly how they play coming out of the break here and see if they can maintain that momentum and keep things rolling. But as of this point, they are absolutely in a position to buy. I don't really see that changing by any means. But as far as what their plans are, you got to look at first base. That's got to be a priority for them. And they can go a couple of different ways there. Josh Naylor really stands out as a potential fit for, I mean, just for them or just any first base needing team that's on the market. Ryan O'Hearn could also make some sense there as well. So those are two guys that I could see absolutely being on their radar. But as the rest of it goes, like pitching for sure is going to end up being on the forefront of what they're looking at as well. Going to Jaron Duran, this one is a really interesting one. Is they have an abundance of outfielders. Like, I think that's perfectly clear. They're not shopping him by any means, but they're listening. And that doesn't mean that they're trying to trade him. They're just, they're trying to see exactly what's out there and what they can possibly get in return. And if they end up getting an offer that is too good to pass up, I expect them to take it. And there is interest for sure. The Padres, their interest is very well documented and it's real, but we have not gotten to the point yet where they're close to trading them. It's far apart at this point. It's not a guarantee to happen. I don't even know the likelihood of it happening, but there's plenty of interest there. So it's possible, but the Red Sox are definitely going to be in the business of buying over the next couple of weeks.
Not shocked at all. The Minnesota Twins are the team that we talked about this on the last show a little bit, where especially because in your notebook you had some reporting on Joe Ryan. But when we were going over your column in the box, you were like, hey, just check this out. And you had a little snippet that was like the Twins are, you know, 4 games out, whatnot, at 47 and 49. Their future's up for grabs. And I was like, check the record. 47 and 49 is like 5 wins higher than I thought the Twins were. Minnesota Twins, their top trade candidates. I would say, you know, Red Sox fans are all over Joe Ryan. Byron Buxton said, I'm a Twin, talked about how proud he was, not waving that no trade clause. Highly doubt it. That makes the Twins a little bit less exciting. And Mark Feinsand matched your reporting on Ryan with the consensus yesterday that he's unavailable. So my question is, if he's unavailable, if Buxton's off the table, who is available? In Griffin Jacks, Joan Duran? Like, would the Twins sell from the bullpen? Or the Twins staying in this, you know, Willie Castro, who could potentially be picked off?
I mean, you're listing some very good names, but as of this point, nobody's available for the Twins. They are wanting to be in a position where they can contend. And the next 7 to 10 days are going to be vital for exactly what this direction looks like for them. And if they do end up making some of these pieces available, like, they're going to attract very strong interest. And you mentioned Duran, you mentioned Jax. Another one that I'd mentioned in there is Harrison Bader. And because teams are always looking for outfield help, and he's very good defensively. He's managed to stay healthy this year. He's put up, I believe, decent power production. I really was not aware of it that much until Scott Braun mentioned it to me while I was on foul territory yesterday. So good shot by Scott, who is a lovely human being. But the Twins, as of this point, they have not had a single conversation about selling with other teams. And going to Joe Ryan here, like, obviously teams are going to want him for sure. But I would put it as pretty unlikely that he's going to be moved, because they value him immensely. He's controllable. He's put up very good numbers for this year for them. And they're just not in a hurry to move him. But they will listen, because that's what all teams do. But I don't expect him to go.
The Diamondbacks, probably the team that can command the deadline most. And we're now starting to see the names portioned out a little bit. Maybe a Merrill Kelly homecoming in Houston, you know, Zach Gallen in the East Coast. They survived a Eugenio Suarez injury scare that you and I watched in person. Suarez said something about how he'd enjoy a reunion with the Tigers and it would be meaningful to him. So it's starting to feel a little bit like the Diamondbacks are more all systems go and acknowledging their reality. But what's your read on their situation with all of the enticing pieces that they have?
Yeah, the Diamondbacks, they are not ready yet to say that they are selling. They're still they're still wanting to be competitive, at least this year and just maybe even next year as well. And Mike Hazen has really just gone against, he's not been a fan of the big rebuilds. And that to me would signal that some of these pieces are going to probably stay in place. Like, we even saw Ken Rosenthal mention that the Diamondbacks only want to move one of their pending free agent starting pitchers between Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. Obviously they have bullpen pieces, and I don't think the Shelby Miller injury is overly serious there. So maybe he can still go despite the forearm strain. I mean, there's other pieces as well. Josh Naylor, some other players on offense there. So there's definitely pieces for them to consider moving, but I don't expect all of them to be moved, because I get the idea that they still want to compete next year. So that is my current read on Arizona. But if I was them, and this is just my own two cents, is I would consider a very big reboot here, because they obviously have plenty of talent on that roster, but trying to maximize what you can get for those pending free agents. And who knows, maybe you can even still get some of them to come back in free agency. That's not an unknown concept by any means. But they should consider it, but I don't think they're going to end up doing the big rebuild.
Big news! Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Here are my two bubble sellers that intrigue me the most now. And I'm going to start with the Rays, because what a whirlwind the Rays season has been. It's easy to forget baseball is a long season that also moves fast and leaves, you know, teams and players in the dust. Right now, we're talking about the Red Sox as the most obvious buyers of all time. They're on a 10-game winning streak, and they have a star-laden roster with youth, and the AL is up for grabs. So why wouldn't they go get a number two starter? The Rays were the Red Sox a month ago. They couldn't lose. They never lost. They were going on the road and sweeping series. Like, they were in Kansas. As Yankees fan, you know, we're trying to chase, we're trying to hold them off, and they win every single day. They cut that deficit from, you know, 7-5 to 3-2. They never lost. You had to win to keep them at bay. And now all of a sudden they are 3 games over .500 and out of the playoff bracket, not the playoff picture, but they're behind the Yankees, struggling Yankees, Red Sox, and Mariners in that 3 spot. So do they believe in their ability to get hot again and climb back into the race, or are they thinking about selling Pete Fairbanks? They seem to take Yandy Diaz off the market this week. Seemed to, but you never know. So what's your read on the Rays, who hybrid it better than anybody else, basically?
Yeah, if you would ask me that a month ago, and I now that I think about it, I think you may have asked me that a month ago.
Probably did, yeah.
I would have thought doing a like a mix between buying and selling would have made the most sense considering their history. But with this new ownership change happening there, I could see them leaning more toward buying than selling. And maybe a potential sell, if they do move a piece, could include like a Taj Bradley type. Although, like, I've seen the reports about him possibly being available. I've gotten mixed signals on that. I mean, it could happen, but the mixed signals to me are kind of telling. And the ones that I'm getting mixed signals from, I trust them a lot. So I think that's something to keep in the back of your mind. But looking at them, I would expect to buy. Maybe not getting like an elite big piece by any means, but going out and trading a draft pick as high as they did for Brian Baker, that I don't see them selling big if they're going to go out and do that. Because that's obviously it helps them win now, but also in the future. But yeah, I don't know. I don't expect them to do much, if any, selling there. And Ian Seymour, I don't know if I've ever seen an Ian Seymour or a bigger Ian Seymour fan than you, Uncle Ted. But he is someone who I know is very well liked throughout baseball. And he did come up earlier this year, so you never know. I mean, maybe that was a showcase. You never know with Tampa Bay.
You mentioned the flip side too, you know, that they traded for Brian Baker early, even predated the Adam Frazier deal. Easy to get that lost in the shuffle ahead of the draft. Netted the Orioles yet another pick. Congrats to them. But the current consensus seems to be that the Orioles are the team that's going to sell off the most major league pieces. There's no confusion there about whether they sell. It's just exactly how thorough is their sale going to be. Are they going to be the team like the Rays last year? Are they going to trade Zach Eflin? Put him on the move again. What is your read on the Orioles at this point? Just no holds barred.
No, they're 6-4 in their last 10, and they're still in last place in the division. And I don't expect them to get to the point where they can end up coming back and kind of salvaging this season. And to me, they got to be real with it. And for me, that would include trading Ryan O'Hearn. That would include trading Cedric Mullins in any player who's on an expiring contract, if I was them. And that could be a pretty epic sell-off. And I don't expect them to move like their big bullpen pieces by any means, like a Felix Bautista. I kind of don't see them going anywhere, but they will listen, as Ken Rosenthal mentioned the other day. But they are definitely in a position where I would call it between the Orioles. I would look at the Diamondbacks and maybe the Twins as the teams that could really kind of change where this deadline is going to go. And the Orioles are probably the most likely team of them all to like have a bigger sell-off than others. So they are definitely the team to watch. And I expect Mike Elias to be real about it and be real about where they're currently at. Because I hope they make better trades than they did last year. Because although that being said, I don't know if it could be any worse, considering what that Trevor Rogers deal turned out to be for them.
Uncle Ted wants to shed Paul O'Neill's trash. Paul O'Neill, the Yankee legend and announcer. I'd love for you to clarify that comment so I can address it. But there are comments asking about the Yankees. And so I'll tie the Yankees in because I'm looking at what the Yankees need. We all know it's a third baseman. It's relief. It's a starter. And one team I keep coming back to, because there was a Francis Romero link between the Yankees and the Royals on Carlos Estevez last night. The Yankees, we know, were interested in Estevez this offseason a little bit and obviously never pulled the trigger there. He goes to Casey instead. Brian Cashman likes to one-stop shop. And I don't think the Royals have a third baseman that will fill the Yankees' need. But the more I think about it, the more I can't get Estevez and Seth Lugo in the same package out of my head. So what are the Royals looking at doing at this deadline? And am I talking crazy or am I talking like normal levels of crazy?
I can see the vision for sure. But that being said, I don't necessarily look if you look at it here, the Royals, they just got Adam Frazier, which by any means, it's not like a huge addition. That's not going to dictate that, oh yeah, that they are going to end up buying. But the fact that they were aggressive and went out and got him, and giving up Cam Devaney, which I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, or Devaney, I don't know necessarily which one it is, but I mean, you would think maybe that they still want to compete. They've invested a lot of different resources into this team. They're fresh off of signing Bobby Witt Jr. to that huge extension as well. So if you want to send a signal to that team, especially the roster overall, that they're serious about competing, I think you continue to buy, which would leave Lugo, would leave Estevez, at least some of those guys off of the market. And they're currently at 47 and 50 right now, which you would think that would probably have them leaning more towards selling than buying. But the Frazier deal may suggest otherwise. But they're one of those teams where we can say it again, the next 7 to 10 days are going to end up telling a lot here. We're not ready yet to definitively say whether or not these guys are going to buy or sell, or these teams are going to buy or sell. But give us a week, give us 10 days, and we will definitely have an answer. And then my sleep schedule is going to be royally screwed for a while. And then we're going to Chicago. So let's get weird.
Any other sellers you want to address? Obviously, there isn't much that we know now, but any intel or buzz you're hearing, things maybe people should expect that they're not currently expecting, things to keep an eye out for. And instead of just, sitting here rehashing the same teams, crossing our fingers that somebody makes a really splash.
I would leave it those teams. But if I was going to mention maybe another, it'd be the Los Angeles Angels. And I wish I had information on this one. But like I said, I'm probably said this at a dozen shows previously here. And I also mentioned it on Foul Territory yesterday. It legitimately could depend on how Artie Moreno wakes up a certain morning and what could dictate what the Angels end up doing. And they obviously have an interim manager in place. They need a lot. They are not close to contending. They're 47 and 49 right now. If I was them, it'd be clear that I would sell. But with Artie Moreno, you never really know. So we'll see. But this is my plea for the Angels. Please finally sell for once, because by buying, you're not going to get any closer to contending. You're only going to get further away from doing so.
What would you sell if you were them? We have some comments asking for like a Reed Detmers, Owen Casey swap. Like, would you sell Detmers? I feel like I would. I know my Angels fan friends are trepidatious about that.
Would I sell Detmers? What's going to happen is if you trade him, you're going to end up just watching the guy succeed elsewhere, and you're going to like have an egg on your face.
I know, but how many times can you, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, you just have to say it's not going to happen here, and he will succeed elsewhere, but everybody knows he's got talent, so he might as well get commensurate value.
No, fair. And it seems like Cubs fans are really in a hurry to trade Owen Casey, so I don't know what that's all about either, but
that's sort of the cardinal rule of the trade deadline, too. If one fan base has the same guy in every mock trade, that means that maybe they're overvaluing that play. Like, we saw with Andujar and Frazier.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. Like, Yankee fans just throwing them in every mock. Like, if you want to get rid of them that bad, if you're willing to put them in any trade, then that means they probably are not
valuable. No, for sure. And, yeah, I'm curious to see what they ultimately do here. But if I was them, I would look at trading almost anybody on that roster. And I mean, obviously that would include Joe Adell, included Taylor Ward, Luis Rengifo, maybe some pitching. I mean, Tyler Anderson's coming up in the final year, or he's in the final year of his deal. So there's a lot to, that they can end up doing here. I hope they end up doing it, because they just got to come to reality and smell the roses here, because they're not going to contend this year.
For those of us, for those of you joining us a little bit late, again, trade deadline, we're going to be doing 3 shows a week up until the trade deadline, Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week, and then Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, I would say we're definitely doing a trade deadline live stream that day. So stay tuned, watch along with us as we learn last minute information. And then Robert and I are flying to Chicago, going to the National, the Card Collectors Convention. doing two live shows Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Central to 11, August 2nd and 3rd, with great guests still TBD announced. So just a tease, we do not have the guests yet, but when we're talking guests, we are not talking about influencers or, you know, fellow reporters. We're talking about stars and legends.
I'll use this phrase, Hall of Famers. Yeah.
Yeah. So stay tuned for the official announcement there, but that is going to be August 2nd and 3rd. If you are local to Chicago, you're stopping by the card show, you want to get all of your, Zach Neto rookies graded by PSA, or you're trying to, I don't know, be a nice guy and sell Adam Weiner a bunch of Ben Rice Topps Chromes at a discount. If you want to watch a live show, come on by. We're going to have incredible guests on both the Saturday and Sunday. So see you in Chicago. Robert and I and the Fansided video team will be there. Anything else you wanted to mention before we sign
off? I'm all really hoping that the door doesn't get knocked on again while we're still on the show here. So I'm going to sign off from here. Adam, I appreciate you. Very good show today. We'll have more in the notebook for Monday. I'm excited to do three shows a week, at least until the deadline is over. But good show. Appreciate you, Adam. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you. Even you, Canyon, I do appreciate you. Hunter, our lovely producer for the day, we appreciate you. And we will see you back here on Monday.
I think that's a good idea. We'll see everybody here on Monday. In the meantime, join us in the Discord. Ask Robert and I questions between shows. Until next week, 3:30 Eastern time on Monday afternoon. Take care, everybody. And we'll see you later on the Baseball Insiders.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.